Lecture 4, The Failure of the Heirs of Basil II.
In this lecture, I wish to cover the dramatic collapse of Byzantine power in the second half of the 11th century. This is the failure of the heirs of the Emperor Basil II. And as I mentioned in a previous lecture, this dramatic political collapse of the Byzantine state is the immediate cause of the Crusades. And the Emperor Alexis I will summon Western European allies to assist him in the reconquest of Asia Minor from the Turkish invaders. Exactly how did this happen? Well, in this lecture, I'd like to deal with three related themes. One would be, where did Basil's heirs fail? And there's so many ways that sometimes when I lecture to students, I spend most of my time talking about the incompetence of Byzantine emperors in the later 11th century. And our primary source on this is a fellow by the name of Michael Psellus, who is a courtier, a philosopher, not known for his modesty. He himself claims to have rediscovered Plato and actually was better than Plato. Nonetheless, he is a very observant writer. He knew many of these emperors personally. And while he's not above praising himself, he also gives us insights into what happened at the court and where Basil's heirs went wrong. The other two sections would deal with the new threats posed to the imperial government. One of them was in the West. This was the Normans. I brought them on the stage not too long ago in a previous lecture, where they were brought in as mercenaries and they emerged to challenge imperial power in Italy and eventually invade Byzantine Greece with an eye to Constantinople. The other invaders were the Seljuk Turks, or more accurately, the Turkmen. These were the nomadic pastoralists from Central Asia who swept through Iran, regenerated the Abbasid Caliphate in 1055, and then conquered Asia Minor as one of their many achievements in revitalizing the military power of Eastern Islam. So these are the three subjects that we have before us. Well, let's look at the first subject of internal problems. Basil, out of the fear of rivals, really in many ways complicated the succession crisis. He never married himself. He, in fact, was very monkish in his habits. He avoided the company of women. In this regard, he was very much like his stepfather, Nicephorus Phocas, although he didn't go the route that Nicephorus did of wearing a hair shirt underneath his armor all the time, which probably accounts why Nicephorus was so irascible. But nonetheless, he took a rather aloof and distant stance. He was a ferocious emperor, as I said, ruled in splendid isolation. And on the other hand, he never secured marriage alliances with his nieces and his sister that would secure the succession. These never went through. There was an effort to marry his niece Zoe to the Emperor Otto III. That was cut short because Otto III died. The result is that when he died in 1025, he was succeeded by his co-emperor and elderly brother, Constantine VIII, who was 2 years younger than Basil. And Constantine VIII had actually taken over the role of patron of the arts and master of ceremonies while Basil was out conquering Bulgaria and passing land legislation. Constantine VIII was also the father of Basil's three nieces, Zoe, Theodora, and Eudoxia. Eudoxia was scarred by smallpox, so she was bundled off to a nunnery. But the other two nieces could have been married to a great a member of the great imperial aristocracy or to an Orthodox prince to secure some type of line of succession so that Zoe or Theodora would be old enough to have children. Well, this was not done. And to some extent, this was Basil's fault because he feared rivals. By the time those two nieces came into power with their father, Constantine VIII, they were quite advanced in years and clearly beyond years of childbearing. So from the start in 1025, it was clear that the Macedonian dynasty, which had ruled as perhaps the most successful dynasty in Byzantine history, was compromised. That somehow this dynasty would run out, it would have to rejuvenate itself by adoptions or marriage. But from the start, those two nieces, the elder Zoe, the younger Theodora, were the keys to the succession. Constantine VIII himself was a man who was probably quite learned, certainly quite feckless, and mistook probably depravity for culture, is the best way you could put it. He spent most of his time carousing and enjoying himself, and even more than his brother, he was fearful of rivals, and therefore made sure that no one of ability was appointed to position, particularly military commands at court, who could ever threaten him.